final game.
Well, they're halfway through that one, and Appleton East is leading Stevens Point by a score of 54-53.
So again, barring Memorial collapsing, and Memorial's finished games well this year, where we've seen them a lot in these games that they're up by 20-plus points. If Memorial does finish this one off, they'll face either Appleton East or Stevens Point, the only two teams to beat them this year, by the way, on Saturday at 3 o'clock. We'll have all the numbers beginning at 2:45 here on 93.5 and echometownradio.com. So Nina basketball, as they'll come left or right, trying to get one last spurt in this one, if you will. Gentile, top of the key. Knee-high dribble with the left hand. Hands it to Krieger. Right side for Ebel. Now a 10-foot jumper off the mark from the left side by Krieger. It goes out of bounds, but the last touch by Memorial, and I'll stay with Nina. You think about it here, it was a tight game for about the first part of the first half. Memorial built a 10-point lead as Klesmith's baseline jumper is good for Nina. But here was the key. At one point, after Memorial had built a 10-point lead, Nina brought the deficit down to 24-21 late in the first half. Memorial then went on a big, big 15-0 run to end the first half, a 17-0 run that spanned across the halftime break, and have not looked back ever since. Nina has never even come close to making the deficit a single-digit deficit ever again.
Yeah, ever since this game was 24-21, Memorial just pulled away, didn't make this game really close ever since, and it's just been Memorial running away.
Number three, Morrow Slayer.
A defense chant raining down from the spectators opposite of us. That's a group of Memorial parents who are over there, and a few of the Memorial parents down to our left joining in as well. It's Nina basketball, down by 20. Gentile works the baseline, dribbles underneath, and then throws it outside to Schultz. Hands it to Klesmith. Klesmith into the lane to Gentile. Three from the left side, rimmed it. Rebound collected here by Gentile. Got her own rebound. Dribbles into the slot, protects the ball. They hand it to Schultz. She and Schroeder both go down to their knees, though, holding the basketball, and on the alternating possession arrow. Oh, no, no, they're going to get a foul on Ashlyn Schroeder. Wow. So they'll get Schroeder on a foul. That'll be Schroeder's third. Team's third with 7:29 left in regulation.
I think she cleanly bottled her there on that one, but the ref saw something I didn't and called Schroeder for that foul.
Klesmith, top of the key. Reyes Shaw doing a good job guarding her. Klesmith forces up a shot, clanks it off the rim. Nay-nay. Rebound to Memorial as Schroeder got it to Welch, who hands it to Kling, and Memorial has the ball. Again, Nora Kling tonight. She's got 20 points in this one. What another big night for the freshman. Kling has it between the wheels. Knee-high dribble with the right hand, switches to the left. Dribbles, nowhere to go. Feeds it to Welch underneath. Welch belly bumps her defender, turns, puts up a shot with the left hand, no, gets her own rebound, and scores on the second kick of the can. Raina Welch has got 12 points. The senior, for the first time in her career, will get to play in that sectional final game on Saturday with a trip to Green Bay at stake. Klesmith cannot make that bus, cannot answer back for a three for Nina. Ball back to Memorial. Now pretty already you can say the bread basket's empty. Oh, Nora Kling, it wants a little more though. She tells the waiter to go back and get me some more. As she drives in from the right side, she scores off the glass and it's fouled. She'll go to the line trying to seal up another three-point play as Nora Kling has 22 in this one.
What do you say on that? Nora Kling is just such an impressive player for a freshman. Already, she has 22 in this game, in a sectional semifinal as well. So she is just unbelievable.
She makes the free throw and the lead is up to a lot. 58-33. Again, this is by far the steepest competition Memorial has faced in weeks. And they are pushing Nina aside as though they're just cleaning crumbs off a table. Plus, a three from the right side, no good. Rebound to Raina Welch. And Memorial, the basketball. Memorial on their way to winning their 11th consecutive game. As Ferguson for three, left side. Count it. Marley Ferguson's got 5 points. And Memorial leads 61-33. They got an outside shot at getting a running clock situation in this. Buss, though, answers back for a three for Nina from the right side. So Ellie Buss with a three. Lead down to 25. Nora Kling works in the lane, worms her way through two defenders, leans towards the hoop and floats it in.
That's just Nora Kling again and again making buckets pretty much nonstop in this game.
She was like a salamander working her way through a landscaping formation. Wow. Klesmith left side. Now up top, here's an open three by Ebel. Front rim, no, rebound to Nora Kling. 5 minutes left in regulation, 63-36 Memorial out in front of this one. They'll have a happy two-hour bus ride home today as Ferguson for three, right side, no good. Rebound to Nina.
Yeah, you can feel Memorial's gonna, they're gonna have a fun bus ride back to Eau Claire after this game, after completely just pulling away.
They'll play for that trip to Green Bay on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Here's a three by Klesmith. Front rimmed it, no, for Nina. Rebound to Welch. Memorial basketball. By the time we get off the air today, we'll know who they're facing, either Stevens Point or Appleton East. That game is becoming an old-fashioned knuckle duster over at DC Everest right now. A hootenanny going on in that ball game. This one you can already put it in pen. That Memorial's gonna win. Kling in the lane, takes contact, puts up a shot, no. Doesn't get the call, but it's also a darn near 30-point lead. Klesmith for three, left wing. Front rim, no good. Long rebound back on the midcourt, tracked down by Nina's Jillian Matheny. DeBus curls in the lane. Puts up a shot, maybe partially blocked by Welch. No good. Kling the rebound. Kling runs it away. A one-on-one. Gets her defender. Start dealing. Goes off the glass. No, but she got the foul. Once she got Alyssa Ebel shark tailing, wiggling the hips as she was moving backwards. Kling, headsy play, went for the contact, got the foul, and goes to the line to shoot two.
Yeah, that's a good play from the freshman. Able to go in, knows exactly what to do in that situation, and that's look for the contact play. She did exactly that, and showing a lot of smarts for the freshman.
Kling hits the first free throw. 64-36, Memorial leads with 3:45 left. What do we have in that other game?
Well, they're nearing the end in that game, and Appleton East leads over Stevens Point by a score of 62-60.
How much time left in that one as Kling misses the second free throw?
There is a minute 20 seconds left in that game.
Might have Derrick do play-by-play of that one, as that one's having a hootenanny finish. A three ball here for Nina's Eva Krieger. The senior's good. And you don't want to lose sight of the fact for seniors for Nina, this is the end of their high school playing days, and for some could be the end of their competitive playing days if there isn't college basketball in their futures. So Krieger gets a three, and there was a little extra loudness to the claps for the Nina supporters there, and rightfully so.
Yeah, you have to remember, no matter what, for these seniors on Nina, this is their end of their high school playing days, so they're going to have, some might go on to college, others, this is the end of their competitive career.
Meredith Adams underneath for Memorial, can't get the left-hand shot to go, rebound to Schultz. And Nina basketball with 3 minutes left in regulation. Memorial leads 64-39. Krieger at the free throw line, knee-high dribble, drops it off for Maddie Armstrong, another senior seeing playing time here at the end. Krieger, a free throw line jumper off the mark, flying through for the rebound is Schroeder for Memorial. Millie Cayley at midcourt, kind of lost her spatial awareness. She picked up the dribble, didn't know really where she was, and dragged back foot for a travel.
Yep, just slipped with that back foot. Also now, just a minute left in that Appleton East Stevens Point game. Appleton East leads 63-60.
Again, those are the only two schools Memorial has lost to. They're going to get a rematch on Saturday with a trip to Green Bay on the line. Here's a three by Krieger off the mark for Nina. Rebound to Palmier, and some Memorial basketball. Again, we'll be back with you tomorrow night for boys basketball. Memorial against North, first round of the playoffs. Crosstown Showdown, playoff style tomorrow night. And then Saturday afternoon, the sectional final from Marshfield. Memorial against a to-be-determined opponent. 2:45 airtime on Saturday.
Yep, a lot to look forward to there. Time continuing to wind down still. Just a minute left in that Appleton East Stevens Point game. Score is still Appleton East leading 63-60.
2 minutes left in this one. Memorial leads 64-39 as a shot from up close off the mark by Schultz for Nina. And it's Memorial basketball. Palmier. Got to Adams up top. Hands it off here to Ava Hoytot. Same time, and Hoytot got fouled on the dribble. And she'll go to the line to shoot a 1-1. Yeah, we didn't see a lot of Ava Hoytot tonight. Was not really a part of the rotation as much. Meanwhile, Andy Brawnell, the head coach for Nina, full range substitutions. How is number of the players, including a number of the standout juniors like Klesmet, head of the bench for likely the last time this year. They get a standing ovation from the Nina supporters. Hoytot misses the front end of the 1-1. Rebound to Nina. 1:40 left in this one as Memorial leads 64-39. Gentile underneath. Handed it off to Baltus. Back outside, a three on the way, but off the mark by Alex Gruden, a sophomore for Nina. It goes out of bounds, Matt Memorial, and now Memorial is going to empty the bench a little bit as well. Abby Larson, Meredith Adams out there, Millie Cayley, also Cora Graham, and Ava Hoytot.
Yep, and with 30 seconds left over in the Stevens Point Appleton East game, Appleton East leads that 63-60 still.
Abby Larson, the free throw line with it for Memorial. So throw it back outside to Cora Graham. Memorial has not been to the state tournament since 2001. They will play for a shot on Saturday. Ball stolen away by Nina. Hey, running the other way is Celia Gentile. The sophomore will score on the layup and was fouled. So Gentile will go to the line trying to finish up a three-point play.
Yeah, good play by Gentile nonetheless. They're able to run to the other end, get the ball on the right block, and then go up for the shot, draw the foul, and get the free throw.
And the free throw by Gentile is good. She does hit the three-point play. Final minute of this one. Memorial leads 64-42.
And as Memorial will pretty much wind this one down, they'll get set for the sectional championship.
Another steal here by Gentile for Nina, and Gentile will score again on the run out. 40 seconds left to go, though, and Memorial leads by 20. Millie Cayley in midcourt. Memorial just looking to bleed the clock down. Would expect there to be a really big crowd on Saturday in Marshfield. The geography will work out that way. Another steal here for Nina's defense. 20 seconds left to go. Izzy Malloy curls into the lane, drives through, puts up a shot, no good. Rebound to Meredith Adams. Cayley will walk up the floor. Brandon Fanning tells Millie Cayley just to dribble out the clock. 10, 9, they throw it into the corner here. Everybody's muscles now relax. Final 5 seconds will tick down. There's a late steal here, actually, and a half-court heave will not be good by Gentile. And there's the buzzer ending this one. Happy handshakes for the Memorial Old Ames, who win this sectional semifinal game with Nari. A bit of drama. They blow out the Nina Rockets 64-44. They'll advance to the sectional final on Saturday with a chance to go to Green Bay on the line.
Yeah, just a monumental moment for this Memorial team, a place that's tripped them up for years now. They finally have gotten past.
We will step aside. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll give you not only final stats and whatnot of this game, will tell you who Memorial will face on Saturday as well. Memorial girls basketball now just one win away from the state tournament as they win here tonight 64-44. This is Eau Claire Area High School Basketball from 93.5 and Eau Claire Hometown Media.
Stay tuned for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game and a look at the final stats.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's time for tonight's postgame show featuring a recap of the game. Let's get back to the gym and Scott Montesano.
And welcome back one final time to Stevens Point High School, which was the host site for this sectional semifinal game. Well, the Memorial Old Abes came into this game having not gotten past this round in a generation, taking on easily their hardest competition of the year. Yet the result, like so many others this year, a blowout win as the Memorial Old Abes rout the Neenah Rockets 64-44. Memorial did it the same way they've done it against so many other teams. Unrelenting defense, transition game. They got a wide swath of scoring. At one point, Nora Kling again took over, and Memorial faced a little bit of adversity and brushed it off as though it was just dust, a little dust on the shoulder. Memorial wins and is now one win away from getting to Green Bay.
Yeah, they treated it like the slightest little bit of dirt when Neenah started to come back into this game, cut it to a three-point game, but they put it away with a big run and ended up just going away with it.
Give you some final stats in this one. Neenah was led by Rowan Klesmet, who had 19. Ellie Buss had 12. As for Memorial, 26 for the freshman Nora Kling, 12 for Raina Welch, and 11 for Rhea Shaw. Neenah's season ends at 19-8. Meanwhile, Memorial's season will continue at 25-2. Derek, some team stats.
Well, for Memorial, they shot 44% from beyond the arc, a lot of that coming in the second half, and 48%. Overall from the field in this game. So Memorial just started shooting very well in this game, shooting nearly 50%. As for Neenah, they just really got the three-point game going early, but it started to sputter in the second half, just shooting 31% from beyond the arc and just 24% overall. They were not making a lot of shots from inside the arc either, so they kind of sputtered in the second half. As far as rebounding goes, offensive rebounds definitely slowed down for Memorial in the second half. Just one offensive rebound that entire second half. As for Neenah, they had four for a total of eight for the Neenah Rockets.
All right, Derek, now with winning this game tonight, the Memorial Old Abes girls basketball team will advance to play Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Marshfield against a to-be-determined opponent. Give us an update on that Appleton East-Stevens Point game.
Well, they've gone into the extra session. They need overtime to decide that game between Appleton East and Stevens Point. There's 2.5 to go in that, and Appleton East leads by 3 at 68-65.
So Memorial will face either Appleton East or Stevens Point. That game went to overtime. Stevens Point was down by 3 in the final minute and tied it. So those teams still playing. Winner of that takes on Memorial on Saturday. So tomorrow night we've got Memorial North in boys basketball as those teams open up their playoffs. 7 o'clock game, 6:45 airtime. And then Saturday afternoon, we'll be back with this Memorial Old Abe's girls basketball team as they take on a to-be-determined opponent looking to get to Green Bay. Derek, they're very much capable of it, aren't they?
Yes, it's very possible.
All right, Derek, any final thoughts?
For Memorial, they'll be looking ahead and have a good chance of going all the way this year if they continue to play like they have all year.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight. The Memorial Old Abes get through the sectional semifinals. They defeat the Neenah Rockets 64-44 and play on Saturday. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, including Derek Montesano, I'm Scott Montesano, saying until tomorrow night when we have boys basketball action, Memorial against North from Memorial High School. So long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm.
You know, you look like people that you're serving and knock down the trust, or, you know, have the trust of Native people because you understand and are part of the community.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it makes a difference. You know, I think that the health system in general, like, this was not a system that traditionally was built for us. And it can feel really inaccessible. You know, there's a lot of steps that people have to go to take to just even to schedule an appointment. So even just getting in the door, like the steps that's required to do that, you know, it's not like you can just walk up to the table and ask your question. I mean, I think that, like you said, it kind of it breaks down a barrier when you can have somebody in that position that you already have at least some level of comfort or shared experience with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's something that, like, I'm really trying to work on. You know, a couple years ago, even, you know, I have little kids, and bringing my kids to the doctor, like, you go in and you fill out the papers and they ask you the questions about, you know, your ethnicity and where you live and your phone number. And at the time, they didn't even have a box for Native American. Like, mm-hmm. They had all these other countries and there was not even a box for the original people of this land. And I complained about it, and I, you know, we've changed it because, mm-hmm. It's like, how is this possible that I can show up to my own doctor's appointment and not have a box where I can check off who I am? Like, just those little things, like, we're trying to address those types of things so that people can fill, if they want to, right, fill out who they are and where they're from. And, you know, we have more than just three boxes for, you know, spirituality and religious beliefs and things like that. And it's helpful to know those things going in. And then it's, I think, equally as helpful from a patient perspective to walk in the door and see someone that you know that there's just that shared level of comfort with.
Well, I'm excited that you are in the field, you know, a Native American, and we need more Native Americans in science and to really, you know, take care of our families. And so it's really cool to see that you're there. You know, when you were first in school, were there any other Native pharmacists or going through that track?
Not that I know of. I do remember when I started, we got, you know, information about the demographics of our incoming class, and it said that there were three Native students in my incoming class. So I do remember, like, getting in there and being like, okay, you know, where are these Native kids at? And that, like, to this day, I don't know if there really were two other ones. Yeah, it was, I was fortunate enough to be connected. You know, one of my mentors was Joni Buffalohead, who she was not in the pharmacy, like the PharmD program, but she was in the social administrative PhD program. And so I was lucky enough to be connected with her during during pharmacy school. And that's been a connection that has helped me throughout my career that I still have today. So I do feel like that connection, even if just with one other Native person, is hugely important. And there's work being done now too, to help support, you know, our Native students in med school and pharmacy school. Cause there's not a ton of us, but, it is nice when we know that each other are there.
Absolutely. And I know, during COVID we had a special show that, we called, Native Format, or that was on Sundays, and it was just on Facebook and YouTube, and we had a big audience. But we had the Native American doctor for Navajo Nation, and she was the only Native. And it was so funny too, because Ruth Anna Buffalo got her for us, and they went to school, they played basketball together. But it, just to have that weight on your shoulder and being the only one is sometimes really daunting. And I know it was for her because of what was going on at the time. And we didn't, there was no vaccine. People were, you know, taking their clothes off at the door. They didn't know how it was spread. It was crazy times, but it's gotta be daunting for you sometimes too, to be the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I think yes. And I will also say that I've gotten a lot of support. I think kind of, especially as I've started to figure out how do I want to give back to the community and how can I do that from my position in the health system. And the system itself has given me a lot of support to do that, which honestly, like right now in these political times, is really, it matters. And I'm really grateful that they're not letting up on any type of diversity or equity or inclusion type of efforts, because we need to bring a voice to a lot of our issues, and the system has been really supportive of doing that. So,
Well, we're here, you know, with Heather Fahey, registered pharmacist with M Health Fairview, and we're talking about this upcoming Sunday, March 9th, honoring John Bomlink, Powwow Healing in Four Directions. I just want to say a big peenie-geegee, thank you so much for coming on. And you know, it's hard to talk about a friend of ours, but it's good that we're celebrating him because he did so many good things, like being able to wear eagle feathers, be able to smudge in St. Paul in the classrooms. And I know personally that he was a great advocate for our students, and he'll be always remembered in a good way. So Heather, thank you for being a big part of that and letting our audience know about this important event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like, he's just really serving as an example for even myself in other systems, right? He was that person in education, and now we can take his example into healthcare.
Right on. Hey, Heather, we'll see you Sunday. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you. Nyawe.
Hey, Native Roots Radio will be right back after this short message. Stay with us, Heather. Haley, stay with
you. You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. President Trump pauses tariffs for Canada and Mexico on items that comply with the 2018 trade agreement. It comes a day after he gave a month at least until implementing the tariffs on automaking. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
If there are purchases that you are thinking about making, like a car that is from one of those three automakers, this is a time to say, okay, maybe this is the time to pull the trigger.
At some point, President Trump is expected to sign an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
President Trump says this is all about sending the power back to the states so they can make their own decisions about education.
Elon Musk's SpaceX suffers another setback as its latest Starship test flight ends with an explosion. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It was the second Starship flight in a row to suffer a catastrophic failure. And the Federal Aviation Administration will no doubt order another failure investigation to figure out what went wrong.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks dominate Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks in Milwaukee by 30 points, 137-107. Damian Lillard with 34 points, Giannis with 32, now with a total 20,000 career points. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles battled but lost at UConn 72-66. Next, they host number 6th-ranked St. John's on Saturday. Head coach Shaka Smart after the game.
I told the guys we don't have a lot of time to, you know, mope around and feel sorry for ourselves because we got another game on Saturday early. You know, I have a hard time flushing losses, but I have to lead the way for our team and set the example for that because Saturday's senior day.
The Badgers with a win at Minnesota 74-67. Wisconsin guard Jack Janecki hustled but got banged in the mouth. Did he lose a tooth?
He looks like a hockey player right now, but it'll be fine. It's just a little chip.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Keanu Reeves says John Wick 5 might not happen. The actor spoke to Extra and said that John Wick 4 didn't leave much room for a John Wick 5, which is an understatement because John Wick died in Chapter 4. Reeves said the role is very physically and mentally demanding, but also said, never say never. Translation, I want a lot of money to do John Wick 5. Ione Sky, who starred opposite John Cusack in 1989's Say Anything, has a new memoir out called Say Everything. In the book, Sky says she and Cusack had sex, but not while filming the movie. Sky says it was years later that they reconnected and wanted to see if on-screen chemistry could be found off-screen, adding it was something she needed to get out of her system. Sky wanted to clarify that the hookup with Cusack happened after she divorced Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz. Sky also said in the book that it was when she was married to Horowitz that she discovered she likes women. That'll pump a guy full of confidence. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, lows upper teens to 20. Clouds tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny for the afternoon and highs in the upper 30s. Even warmer temperatures for the weekend and into next week, highs climbing through the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by the University of Wisconsin-Madison Professor Yoshiko Herrera to discuss the evolving situation in Ukraine. Are there any silver linings?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here, Haley and I, talking over things, waiting for our guests to jump on. You know, sometimes, Haley, when you have a Native American radio show, people are on Indian time and maybe in a different zip code or timeline or something. But
I know.
It's nervous. You know, I haven't, my beard is totally gray where my hair is dark, and I don't dye my hair. But I think, you know, from worrying on the radio show and worried about my kids and worried about you, Haley, I got a gray beard.
You know, I was noticing a couple of white strands in my hair, too, and I'm only 27. So I don't know what that says about,
well, about I'll tell you where what it I'm says. At. You've been on the radio for 2 years. That's what it says.
Apparently. Well, Heather did a great job as always. I was hoping to hear from Shannon, but shout out. Hopefully we can get Shannon on again too. With the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I've heard great things about them.
She's big time. She's kind of helps with and I don't know how she helps, but she runs. I don't want to say runs, but
I think facilitates she's executive director.
Facilitates the other 11 tribes.
That's
got to be like herding kittens sometimes. Oh,
probably, yeah. is a nice way to describe it.
We talk about boycotts here. We talk about, you know, resisting and things like that. And I know there's another boycott towards our friends from Target. And it's faith leaders are calling on shoppers to divert their spending from Target to Black-owned businesses during Lent. And so that's a 40-day Target boycott again. And they got really hit hard when they changed their DEI outlook. And it's really funny, too, because I was looking at who gave a lot of money to the Republicans, and Target wasn't one of them. So it's very confusing, and I think, like our friend Arvina said, it's very confusing because they've supported, you know, like Pride here in the Twin Cities. They were big-time supporters of that, and so it was very confusing that they dropped a DEI. And I really think, too, that we should call DEI Diversity, Equity, Inclusion instead of the short DEI, because it's more powerful in its name. It's diversity. It's equity. And inclusion. What are wrong with those things?
Isn't there like a DEIA? They're supposed to be at the A too at the end, and then people always forget about that.
I don't know. Is that a TV show?
I think it's like accessibility or something. But yeah, that they leave off that A because they're scrubbing all the websites with the information that include the words diversity, inclusion, and equity as well. So any website that has, you know, is talking about any of those things are also being taken down too. And like you mentioned, Arvina, too, it's not only confusing that Target went this route, but it's disappointing because I remember when Target would pick certain underserved community organizations and nonprofits, and you could like go on your Target app and vote for them. Community members could vote and it would raise money towards those organizations. So this is really just kind of really backwards about how they've, you know, portrayed themselves over the years.
Well, and there's a lot of other companies that have not gone that route. So there's people speaking about supporting these companies that are still, you know, training, you know, in diversity and equity and inclusion. So there is that right there. It's crazy, too. It's interesting, too, and I'm going kind of bouncing back and forth right now, Haley. You know, I don't know. It's my radio ADHD, but it's just, you know, I know you didn't watch the Orange One's speech, but it was just crazy, you know, that, you know, the Trump, you know, administration they used a child who survived cancer And that was after cutting funds for cancer research that, you know, really that saved his life. So we're in this really upside down world when it comes to lying. And it's just, I've never seen anything like this. And I can't imagine a Gen Zer like yourself going, what in the heck is going on?
Yeah, thinking a little bit more than that, but yeah. Yeah, I don't even know where to get into it because
you don't have
my own mental health. I have not been able to watch a lot of that.
Well, I want to give a shout out to change gears a little bit. You know, this was on the Indigenous Protectors Movement page, and last night I saw this on the news. They're at a gathering of strength and love and resilience at a prayer circle and vigil for Allison Lissar. And we've talked about, I've heard about her in the community, and it was under the bridge outside the apartment where her life was taken. And they stood there together in honor for Allison's life and demanded justice and discussed independent investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department. And what that means really quick is that after this death, really the police did not investigate anymore. Mm-hmm. And not that the police were involved in this murder, and they pretty much know who did it, and the police have just dropped the ball and moved on. And so now there's going to be an independent investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department's investigation. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And that's another Native American that was murdered and that was just swept aside and, you know, mm-hmm. and not counted as human. You know, when we fight and talk about things here on Native Roots Radio, and even way before that, it's just talking about humanity and we're people and we do matter and we are human beings and we bleed just like everybody else. And there's some, you know, facets of the communities that don't believe that and never have. And so it's good that they kept pushing forward on this and that things are happening. And I saw it on mainstream news too, so it got coverage too, which mm-hmm. is good and surprising at the same time.
Yeah, if you want to, I texted you too, if you want to look at your phone quick. Thanks for bringing up MMIR. That's the thing we talk about a lot here on Native Roots Radio. We like to bring awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and definitely we're very familiar with that, especially here in the Twin Cities. Also, you mentioned a lot of the mainstream media doesn't cover when Native girls go missing like they would a white girl with blue eyes and blonde hair, you know, like the national, well, really worldwide coverage that Gabby Petito got. But this is a story that hasn't really been covered at all. The only reason I know about it is because we're so tuned into our Native communities around Turtle Island. But I want to bring up Emily Pike out of Arizona. Mm. And Emily Pike, it was a 14-year-old girl of the San Carlos Apache tribe who was brutally murdered this past week. Her body was found in garbage bags, dismembered. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw, too, I don't think the family was properly notified in a respectful way before that hit local stations down in Arizona. So our heart is just really hurting. You know, Emily Pike was, she was a child, really. You know, she was 14 mm-hmm. years old. You know, she deserved to see her 15th birthday. She deserved to continue to paint and create art. And she deserved to go to the school that she wanted to go to and grow up. And she deserved to chase her dreams. And she deserved to become a Native matriarch. And, you know, this is just something we deal with so often. And I know we'll keep talking about that and how to help Emily's family. But yeah, if you have any information about that, you can reach out to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, also the San Carlos Apache Tribal Police Detective. But yeah, wanted to say Emily Pike's name and bring awareness to that.
Hey, we have our friend Barry Hand here, and let's add him to the show here. And Barry, welcome to Native Roots Radio. Come in, Barry. You know, I think the snow really did some numbers on our technology here, and that's why I don't trust technology, Haley.
No.
Oh, there. Oh,
there's Barry. Looks like he's driving down the freeway.
I want to apologize. I had a senior moment. I had my whole thing set up to chime in with you guys, but we started tapping trees, and I was sitting there, and I said, oh, I better go up to the buckets. So, and then I just got a call. I apologize.
So where are you tapping these trees? And I want some syrup this time, dang it.
Well, I tell you what, we have a wonderful coworker who lives out in Minnetonka, and they have a whole bunch of big sugar maples. And usually I do it on public land. Every once in a while you'll find some surprises in your kettles. And so this way, at least with private property, you're able to kind of internalizes your bucket, so to speak.
looks like you're under the Lindell Bridge there. We're having trouble with you with your connection right now, but we want to talk a little bit about the organization that you're with and what's going on and how the dugout's going.
So we've been working on, so it's actually Wakuntipi Wayankapi's program, and I'm attached to it. It's kind of a junior woodchuck, so to speak. Wakuntipi Wayankapi, they're building a new building, first new building kind of for us, by us, in St. Paul. We got a couple other things that Anda Young put up on University Avenue, doing some real good work there, in cooperation with PPL. But this one is kind of for the community. And part of that capital campaign, the four Dakota communities came together and supported that in various ways, sometimes financially, sometimes with just letters of support. And so their organization, headed up by Maggie Lorenz, is gifting each four community with a dugout canoe. So there was three that are being made, and the contractor came under the weather, and so there was a fourth one that needed to be made. So we had to get a hold of some folks to get this canoe built in about a two-month time frame. So I don't know if you're familiar with the bark lodges down at Prairie Island. We brought those back about 4 years ago, and we reached out to the group, Great Lakes Lifeways Institute, Kevin Finney and Keisha Beloach, say, hey, can you help us with a dugout? And they said, yeah. You know, and the funny thing is they said, we'll do a dugout. We assumed they would make the dugout in the privacy of their own garage or whatever, and they said, nope, we'll do the dugout, but we want to make sure that the community's involved with making the dugout.
Right on.
And
hey,
so
Barry.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here. We got to pay the bills. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Barry Hand, and we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh! Hey, cool. We have our friend Barry Hand on. And Barry, before we get into talking more about Ouamni, Yomni, I want to just mention the fact, okay, the show, Native Roots Radio has been on, this is our ninth year, and you were originally one of the original hosts, going to be one of the original hosts of this show.
I was?
Yeah.
Well, I remember we talked about doing a pirate radio to kind of rage against the machine a little bit. You know, kind of that whole Gen X, I got a problem with authority. And then where I was going in it from a little bit more of a crusty kind of way, you went super sophisticated and did some really awesome work. And now you're all over the place getting syndicated. I like to think I was your beautiful muse.
Well, you all, not only were my beautiful muse, but you helped name the show. I don't know if you remember that, too.
I don't remember that, but thanks for giving me. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you, I know you have a good memory, but it's short. But I remember that, and I just want to give you a quick shout-out, too, about how important you are to me and the radio show and in the Native community. So let's talk a little bit more about we were getting into the canoe digging and what that has to do with. And I know us as Ho-Chunk, Haley and I, we're ready to dig our own here in the cities and race you. Oh, wow.
Well, here's the thing I'll tell you. First of all, hats off to Ho-Chunk Nation, Bill Quackenbush, and the work that they did last year with bringing that dugout on the river. We're also kind of leaning on the work that Matt Pendleton and the Lower Sioux community did. We have a partnership with the Ouamani, Ouamani, Kodiapi, and Minneapolis Park Board. So if you want to harvest trees for the dugouts, Minneapolis Park Board says that they will help us harvest those trees. Usually they're trees. So for instance, the species and the size, if they're going to be taking a tree down, a lot of times the park boards for the St. Paul, Minneapolis, those just get chipped out into wood chips. Mm. And we have the opportunity then to make those dugouts.
Wow.
Some of the things that have come up as possible things, you know, basically reclaiming the riverways. Mm-hmm. Those are our highways. And so there's been talks about doing some unity paddles, some competitions. I know at Bede Makaska, they have the events where they bring the canoes out. But at some point, you know, the old timers used to say we didn't need to go to Walmart to get everything. The earth provided everything we needed. And so wouldn't it be nice to see some dugouts and birch bark canoes in our waterways and actually not being used as a piece to look at, but something that we use?
Mm. Well, that's a great idea. And Haley, you have a big garage, so I think the next canoe that we Ho-Chunk we make, we're going to make it in your garage.
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty full now with Dad's new race car. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe.
What kind of
else.
Race car does Dad have?
Oh, he got himself his dream Dodge Charger Scat Pack, all fancy.
Wow, I endorse that purchase 100%.
I'll tell him.
Well, he listens to the show every day, doesn't he?
Oh, of course.
Right on, right on. So tell us some more, Barry. We got a couple more minutes last segment here, and I by seeing where you're driving right now, I can tell you're passing up my house. So give me a big wave off the freeway there.
Well, I'm over here right now by Hopkins Crossroad.
Oh.
So I'm on the other end. I'm still heading out to get that sap, man. I'm like Mr. Incredible right now. I'm getting stretched in all kinds of different places, you know, trying to be everywhere at once. But, you know, we're doing at Ouamani, Ouamani, Kodiapi, what we are really trying to do, our main mission is to restore that site, 5 acres. And then we'll be restoring 3 acres with the park board. So altogether, it'll be a total of 8 acres where you're going to be seeing some tall grass prairie right in downtown Minneapolis. If you ever want to know what that might look like on the river and kind of a cityscape, a couple places you can look is Mississippi North Regional Park off of 49th. And of course, Bruce Fennell, Wakantipi. That area is where he has some good prairie restoration. The problem with Wakantipi is you got Warner Road in between the river and the site. Ours will be connected right to the river. So we do want to kind of bring back our plant relatives and, you know, support our those other relatives, the flyers and whatnot, and the fish, and bring back a little bit of that tall grass prairie, because it's going to benefit the land. And right now, we've got to do kind of work overtime a little bit, because whenever you're in these industrial areas, you're looking at a super, a lot of pollution from many years of being abused. So hopefully by next year, this time, we've already had our round one of planning for our prairie. The thing about a tall grass prairie is it takes about 5 to 6 years to establish. And so even though we'll have that planning done, it's going to take a while. Real quick, we are hoping that the Ford Dakota communities, we're going to take donations from their prairie restoration, create these mother gardens. So that's another exciting thing, where we have these spots where the prairie kind of grows out from those mother gardens, coming from places like Prairie Island, Shakopee, Lower Sioux, and Upper Sioux.
Wow, that's exciting. So to talk about the prairie grass, what else is in there? Is it pretty much just the prairie grass, or there's flowers in there? Is there
dozens and dozens of different plants? It's a it was one of the most diverse biomes we had in the state, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa. It's the most endangered biome in the state is tall grass prairie, and the bluff prairies. And so when we say grasses, that's any number of blue stem, whether it's side oats, grama. You're going to have your echinaceas. You're going to have your wild bergamot. There's so many cardinal flower. So a lot of times when you think about, like, in the cities on the boulevards, it's really popular to have a pollinator garden. Basically, yeah. A tall grass prairie is a pollinator garden. Even the grasses have flowers. They're just really small. And so if you can imagine those pollinator gardens, but bigger, that's what we're shooting for. Dozens and dozens of species, a lot of biodiversity within a small area.
I remember years ago you telling me that a flower or a plant that comes out of the ground, if it's a square and not rounded, if it's square, a lot of times that's medicine. That's a way to find out that it's medicine.
So that's the mint family. A lot of your mints will have a square stem. It'll feel like a square. So you could have peppermint, spearmint, bergamot, catnip's a mint. So if it has a square stem, it's in the mint family. And almost all of those mint family of plants are medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's traditional medicine here in North America and throughout the northern hemispheres of the world. So.
See, Barry, I do listen to you.
I'm really proud of you. I should have said handsome instead of beautiful, but I'll when I was your muse for the radio station.
Right.
And I'm so glad that Miss Cherry's keeping you in line, because it sounds like, you know, you're like me. You can go off the rails pretty easy. So you're lucky to have her on staff.
No doubt. And it's celebrating 2 years with her very soon. And also she just had a birthday a couple days ago. So it's just amazing to have Haley with us. Barry, we only got less than a minute left. Can you give us a Facebook or a website of how people can keep in touch with you, or what's going on with your organization?
So Owamini Omini Kodiapi, you can find us at Owamini.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. That is coming your way. Also, Peach Schwabba from Nightlight will join us to talk about the killer flaw in that movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has again pulled back on tariffs he imposed on Canada and Mexico. He's holding off until April 2nd with the 25% levy on imported goods that comply with a 2018 trade agreement. CBS's Scott McFarland.
These have direct impact on auto workers, on the providers, the contractors, the private companies that help serve the automakers, and, oh, by the way, the auto workers.
A setback for Elon Musk's SpaceX Starship vehicle after being launched in Texas. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
The rocket then flew out of control and broke up in a shower of debris that was captured by spectators as far away as Cape Canaveral.
Cuts by DOGE have affected at least 18 federal departments and agencies. Big cuts are expected at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Combat Army veteran Rob Hamm is concerned.
We should rise together. When we as a country send people to war, we have a sacred obligation to take care of them when they come home.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.